I'm really glad to be back at the pulpit today, sharing this message. I'm glad because I mentioned that I was a little nervous, right, when I left, because you were going to have a real preacher here last Sunday. And I was concerned that after Reg shared the sermon with you, you would say, "Nah, we ain't having that guy anymore." But I'm glad that you still tolerate me here. I don't know. Did you all hear his sermon? Was it good? He's a great storyteller. I tell you, I appreciate him, and he's been just a grace leader for pastors in Lakewood and for the city of Lakewood. We are glad to have him. Now, we've been focusing on the meaning of resurrection. The resurrection of Christ for all believers. And I pray again that the sermon last week was a good opportunity for you to reflect upon the blessings that all believers carry with them. The hope, right? The hope that we have in any circumstance in our lives, that God is not only looking over us, right? We understand that God may be looking over us, but God decides to place himself, his hope, in each one of our lives. And I think that that is really to be grateful for. And Reg shared about that hope with some stories that, I know he's an expert at telling. And I'm glad that he did that. But today we're going to speak of that hope in a little bit of a different light. I don't know about you guys, but much is said about the sharing community nowadays. You've heard about that? The sharing economy? Come on, the young ones, you must have come on and just say. There's this sense today that everything is to be shared. Whether it's a sharing a place to live, right? Or sharing clothing. Have you seen that ad, right? Where this older fella, you know, that he doesn't have pants on, right? Right? And it was his son's day to wear the pants. They were sharing the pants, right? That is a statement about our culture today. It's sort of a social, communal reality as well as an economic model, right? There's some resources that are available in our community. Why don't we share them? I think that this idea started back in the late 80s and the beginning of the 90s, at least in the technology field. You know the internet, right? Anybody? The internet has actually changed a lot about how we see the world. And anybody remember Napster? Yeah. Okay, there's a few of you, right? Remember Napster. Napster was the first software engine that was invented simply to share. You would share your music, right? By having it available for anybody in the whole wide world to be able to download it from your computer. So if I wanted to hear a song and I didn't have it in my collection, guess what I would do? I could go into Napster, do a search, there would be a few songs that would list out there, and I would click on one of them. I could download it to my computer. Wonderful. I didn't have to go to the store, right, and try to find that song. Napster was one of those, I guess, engines that really facilitated a lot of that sharing of goods and resources. It's sort of intended to break down the barriers for everybody to have access to, again, specifically music at that time. Now, that was a technological revolution. All the kids at the time, all the kids had either Napster or any other engine. There were a few out there that were intended just to share music. And that was a big thing. Now, although it failed in its initial versions, today we really have access to a lot more. YouTube, right? Anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Now, YouTube made it to the scene, and now it is not only people that have the ability to share videos, you can actually create, right? Videos and post them up online, and guess what happens? Anybody can have access to them. So we have all kinds of access to different video sources. So the sharing community has been more than just the technological events. It is not a modern thing. It can be considered even a human trait. When you see, again, in those videos that I share out there in YouTube, a man that receives food, whether it's pizza or a sandwich, and they're out and out, and they get something, you'd be amazed how many times they look for somebody else to share it with. Right? It is one of those things that is part of our humanity. And the reality is that sharing has been a part of us for more time than we think. The sharing of resources has been with us like forever. We've shared food, we've shared shelter, we've shared building materials, we've shared other resources throughout humanity's existence. And we have also shared ideas. Anybody? Media, right? And the news. I mean, we've shared ideas, and not only idea, but belief systems, worldviews. There's all kinds of things that are being shared in our lives. And in many ways, the sharing has been the basis of building community. We share things and we relate to each other. So throughout history, sharing has been happening. And our scripture today just provides sort of a glance at what how it looked in the beginning of what we call today the church. It's just a little bit of a sense of what they, as a community that were building this movement, looked like. It is not only the sharing of a belief system, but it was the sharing of practices, right? Practices that built up a religion, a way to see the world and to share with each other. Now, all religions are formed around a set of teachings, right? All religions are shaped by their own way of understanding and their own way of practicing their teachings. And about the existence of a higher being, or in some cases, a higher understanding of the self, right? You know, these religions that do want to, I don't know, realize the best within the human being. They all include ideals. They all include virtues. ethics, morals, values. And they sort of create belief systems that then people can gather around and say that they are sharing. Now, what sets apart our believing community from other practicing communities is essentially one thing: the person of Jesus Christ, right? The only reason why we are called Christians is because of Christ. Amen. Now, I've been to seminary, and I'm sure that some of you are aware what happens in seminary. All kinds of ideas come up, and they're challenged, right? And I remember one of my theology professors started this discussion and reading about what makes a person a Christian. Believe me, I do not know how. They ended up with the conclusion that everybody is a Christian. And I could not understand how they arrived to that place. Because in my mind, the only way that you can be a Christian is by Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Right? It's sort of a logical thing. Christ, Christian. Christ, Christian. Without Christ, what happens? No Christian. But what happened with Jesus' presence among those people that, you know, around 2,000 years ago is that he set the world on a different path. It was not only the Jewish people. He set the world on a different path. And we talked about this a few Sundays ago, right? Because we called this year, what? 2017 for a reason, right? Because year zero was the year approximately where Jesus was born, right? There is a marker, even in our history. Even at the way that we look at the calendar, that says something of importance happened today, that day. Now, Christianity was born in the Hebrew culture, and it was through the Jewish history and their religion that Jesus really catapulted the world into a new direction. It was a different concept of God that was realized with Jesus Christ. God did not only become that father figure, right? That father deity. They used to call him Abba, right? Abba, father. But usually when we look at father, we look at father with that punishing bent. Right? Abba is, oh please, do not punish me for the things that I'm not doing right. That was sort of the view that they had about God. God, if you don't follow God, guess what's going to happen? Something wrong, bad is going to happen in your life. Jesus sort of drew away that concept and created a more of a gracious creator idea of God. Yes, there's still that idea that there are consequences for our decisions. But here is a God that is not in the scene to punish you. Here is a God that is reaching out to you with love. Remember John 3:16? What does it say? For God so what? That he gave. So that everybody that would believe would have everlasting life. So you see that Jesus is trying to readdress the worldview of the whole world. Here is a God, creator, that sought to redeem folks, to reconcile with the world. This is a God that is active, reaching out and touching lives. And note that the first believers created sort of this sharing community that included a sharing economy. But it was more than just that. It was more than just sharing resources. There was action beyond the economy, right? It tells us that they took all their goods and made it available for those who needed. But they also devoted themselves to the teaching of who? Through who? Is it? Through the disciples. Now, this is important. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the disciples. Now, the disciples have been the ones that heard Jesus' teaching. And they were carrying that teaching with them. And those who believed, those who came into the church, they also were attentive to that teaching through the disciples. Now this word, devoted, is really important. We're celebrating Mother's Day, right? And usually mothers are what to their children? Devoted to their children, right? There is this desire to tend to care for, to raise, to teach, to model. Devotion. Now remember, there were a bunch of teachers at the time. Sort of like today, right? There's all kinds of people that are teaching out there. Yes, Christianity, they're teaching Judaism, they're teaching Islam, they're teaching all kinds of stuff. And at the time, there were all kinds of teachers. You have Pharisees, you have scribes, you have all different teachers out there. But people perked up their ears when they heard about this God through Jesus. Not only that, but they paid attention. And not only that, but then they devoted themselves to a set of practices. They were organized. And for a teaching really to take hold, to have an impact, it had not only to be outstanding, it had to really have power behind it. And maybe the reason why Christ's teachings stood out to people is because they were accompanied by something that is described in our text. Other people looked at these folks with awe. Awe of what? Awe of how good they were? Awe of how great they were with the community? Well, it tells us that it wasn't necessarily that. They were awe because of the signs and wonders. Hello? Are y'all here? There were signs and wonders accompanying these folks. So it wasn't only a matter of good teaching. It wasn't only a matter of having a sharing community or a sharing economy. There was power behind the words. There was something that really stood out. And people, when they looked at the disciples and those who were following, they saw something different. Wonders and signs. Now, what are we looking at today? Are we still looking for something different? I wonder if we are seeking to see the wonders and the signs of the church. Believe me, they're there. Maybe what happens is that we are not in tune, and that we may not be seeing what God is doing. Now, I see them. I have a special set of lenses. Right? I see them. And guess what? I see those things through you. I saw that. What? Yeah. I see those things through you. Because whenever you are touching somebody else's life, whenever there is an action on your behalf, working for somebody else's well-being, something of God is being manifested. Hello? Amen. Amen. Reach, teach, serve. That's our mission. It's very simple. Reach, teach, serve. I think there's a lot of service that is happening in our church. And there's some teaching that is going on. Anybody? Well, there's a few, right? A partake of that. But how about the reaching? How about the reaching? How are we reaching others? I think that there is a way to see in this text how that initial community was reaching others. They were reaching others not only by preaching in the pulpit. Hello? Right? And they not only were reaching others by singing, they were not only reaching others by praying, they were not only reaching others by breaking the bread, that is all laid out over there. But they also were reaching others by their witnessing. Hello? And their witness was very clear at the time. We've learned of this guy who was outstanding. We've learned of this fellow who came and actually made some things different. Not only in the way that we believed, but in the way that we see the world. He made a mark in us. Hello. I'm sorry. Maybe I came from Florida with something else in my mind. I guess that happens when you're right next to Irma Rodriguez for a week. I tell you, there is something about that person who has experienced the power of God in their life. Amen. And that is experiencing the power of God in their lives on a continual basis. You know what happens when you receive something like a piece of treasure? Guess what? You celebrate that, right?
Yes.
Mm. and other people see it. Man, there's a step on you today, right? There's something happening with you today. What's going on? I the lotto, you know. I hit the big one. Something. Well, in these folks' lives, something was happening to the extent that they were sharing that in their lives. And Scripture says that God added to that. Right? Did you get that? Did you hear that? That God added those who were going to believe. Now, we have embraced these practices. We pray, right? And we break bread. We're going to do that in a little bit. And we do it with generous hearts. We share. We share food with people in the community. We do good things. But I wonder sometimes, is that all? Is that all? Is that all that we have to give? Is it a matter of just pulling out our wallets, our checkbooks, and even sometimes our actions on behalf of the community? Is that all that we have? Now, I'm going to finish here in 2 more minutes. You know that when I say that. Some people have thought of this passage as the basis for declaring Jesus as a communist. Yeah. I mean, when you hear words like that, that they had everything in common, right? Then there's this commonality that appears on the scene. And of course, if there's commonality, then that means that the sharing economy is the one that we need to lift up. And they have labeled Jesus' teaching as the basis for, you know, socialism, communism, whatever you want to call it. I'm not going to get into the political implications of that. But I believe that this is furthest from the truth. Jesus did not invent sharing. Hello? Right? Jesus did not invent sharing. What Jesus brought to the table, and specifically for the church, was redemption. It was redemption. And that led to a sharing of a message. A message that we call the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The good news. It is way more than just sharing things. Because when we talk about redemption, we talk about reconciliation with God and with the world. And that is outstanding. I only have one more question for you. I wonder, what have we done with that message? Let's pray. Father, Abba, we love you. We sing these songs when we recognize your holiness, we recognize your worthiness, we recognize who you are in our midst and what you signify for us. We sing these things. We read the scriptures, which points to you as the one that is the provider, creator of all things. The one who loved us to the extreme, sending your Son for us. And Lord, here we are. When we have all this knowledge, all this awareness, all these good news, and we pray, Lord, that you may enable us, equip us to be the ones that share those good news with others. Not because we want to be outstanding, but because you are outstanding. Because your kingdom is the one that needs to be built up. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.